I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm Brian Wilson alongside Larry O'Connor.
And joining us right now live in studio is one of our favorites, Stacey Dash. She's got a brand new book out, There Goes My Social Life, From Clueless to Conservative. Stacey Dash, also Fox News analyst and Hollywood superstar. Hey, Stacey, thanks
Hello.
For joining us today.
Thank you.
And you're live in studio, and we're streaming this live on Facebook Live. If anybody wants to watch, they can watch
Good
it
morning.
Live now or watch it later. So talk about your book. When you said, There Goes My Social Life,
yes.
I sympathize. I used to work in the entertainment business in theater. I know what happens when you reveal yourself to your close associates and workmates and friends as someone who doesn't hold up the same doctrine that they hold up as
right.
a progressive.
Doesn't
as a liberal.
Toe the line.
So what happened to your social life?
There it went. You know, I lost a lot of friends. Family stopped talking to me, and Hollywood ostracized me. So, but that's okay.
But what you did was, all you did was you tweeted out that you supported Mitt Romney,
that's
right?
That's it.
That was
that's
it. It's
I
not
did.
Like you said, you know, I'm,
no.
I'm wow. yay guns,
no.
yay, you know,
right.
anti-abortion,
no.
anything. It was
I just
Mitt
voiced
Romney.
My opinion, and it was not that of a liberal, and so I was ostracized. And I'm black, so I of course should have voted for the black president, and I said no. No,
you get
more Obama.
So when it came to roles in Hollywood, how did that impact? What happened as a result of that?
I haven't auditioned in over a year.
That was not the case before you tweeted this
no,
out.
No, my agents just dropped me because of my politics, and they said that casting director actually said to them, "We give you credit for pitching her with a straight face."
Wow really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is, Stacey Dash. You may think it's because you're conservative, but it's really because, you know, producers and directors and the American public, they don't want an actor that wears any kind of politics on their sleeve. I mean, look at Ben Affleck. I mean, oh, no, wait.
No,
he's very outspoken.
That would not be a great
well,
example.
George Clooney. See,
well, no,
he makes sure that
no,
he stays
no,
out of politics.
No, he's
well,
very
no,
politically
he's
active.
Very political.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. In fact, as long as you're liberal, it's okay to be political.
It's okay.
Is that
yeah.
the lesson?
Like Leo and everybody else.
Right,
yes,
exactly.
That's the lesson. But if you, like I said, if you don't toe the line, you got to get out of line.
But
you
I hear people all the time say, Hollywood doesn't care about politics. They only care about money.
Oh,
right. As long
right.
as you make the money, that's and you know, your movie Clueless, that
They're
didn't
They're capitalists.
Oh, wait. Clueless made a lot of money,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, it certainly did, didn't it? And I was a big part of that movie.
Yeah.
They're capitalists. But if you don't want to push their agenda, then, you know, what good are you?
One of the things I heard you say or have read that you said was something about apparently some people thought that you now present yourself in a way that doesn't give you much street cred.
Mm.
Isn't that a phrase that I've heard referred to in your case?
Street cred?
That you weren't urban enough?
I've heard people have thought that.
But
I'm
actually, you have a very interesting backstory.
Yeah.
I mean, you came through some pretty tough stuff as a kid.
Yeah. I have. Yeah, I guess because of the way I speak, people have told me, you know, I talk like a white girl, which is absurd. I don't know what that means.
She talks like a white girl.
I talk like I'm from New York
But why don't you, I'm sure you talk about it in your book, your
I'm
background.
From,
is,
yeah, yeah, I'm from the South Bronx. And, you know, I come from the South Bronx, two drug addicted parents. And my life is far from what people think it was. And I believe that people think I grew up like Dion, you know. I grew up with a silver spoon in my mouth in Beverly Hills. Mm. And that is far, so far from the truth.
You're referring to Dion, your character
in Clueless. Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned the fact that you're black and
yes.
you're supposed to vote for the black
That's right.
candidate. And, of course, all Black Lives Matters and this whole movement that happened over the last year. Oh, you're rolling your eyes, but this is what really it hit a pinnacle this year, didn't it? With your comments about that and your comments about Black History Month. Remind us what happened and what the fallout from that was.
Well, I said that there should not be a Black History Month because I feel like Black people have contributed to the history of the United States of America far more than just one month can tell. I think we should just be a part of American history, 365 days of every year, not just one month. You know, I mean, and God help us if white people said, well, we want a White History Month, it would be, you know, everybody would be crying racism.
And what
it's
was
just
the
a
reaction?
Double standard.
What was the reaction?
The reaction was, you know, I don't think I'm black. I don't like black people. I don't believe in black people. I'm an Uncle Tom. You know, I'm a house nigger. All those kinds of awful, awful things that you can say about people.
And this also came as a reaction to all of the hoopla about Oscars not being diverse enough. Oscars so white. We kept hearing Oscars so white. Tell me about what happened when Chris Rock, who was hosting the Oscars, decided to reach out to you. Because you made an appearance on that stage in Hollywood.
Yes, they did.
And they didn't know what to make of you,
did
they?
No, they didn't. Yeah. They didn't know what to do with themselves. Chris called me and asked me, would I do this joke with him? Would I go up there and just say I was head of the minority or the diversity outreach
in Hollywood.
Outreach in Hollywood.
And then you waved
and I said, sure.
He said, happy Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month. And it just went, whoosh, because they're so full of themselves, you know? And I just thought, come on. None of you are Clark Gable or Grace Kelly, so just get over yourselves.
Everyone in America is laughing their butts off at that moment, actually, but everyone in the room at the Oscars
are going, what?
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're so full of themselves, they can't even take a joke. Yeah. You know, it's also serious.
So you said you haven't auditioned for a year.
Yeah.
And you're on Fox News as an analyst. You got this book out. What's your future, Stacey Dash? I mean, you've got very strong political opinions. You're a very attractive young millennial.
Yeah.
You're very well-spoken. Would you consider running for office someday?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Wait, do you want to think about it? Look how quickly she did this.
Man, she answered that quick.
I'd like to be an ambassador first, get my feet wet in politics because I'm not a politician, learn all I can, and then be president of the United States of America.
All right.
Really? And by the way, are you supporting Donald Trump in
yes,
this
I am.
Campaign?
Yeah. Yes.
How's that going for you?
Great.
Yeah. Right, and
it's fun to be a part of that.
So when it's all said and done, Donald is elected president, you're hoping for an ambassadorship.
Yes.
That's right.
Well,
if you could pick
any country that you particularly would like.
Vienna.
Vienna?
Yes.
Well, that wouldn't suck, would
Austria.
It?
No,
yeah,
right?
That's pretty
wouldn't
good
that be
stuff.
Nice?
All right. Can we visit?
Hey, of course.
Be in charge of the embassy there? Doing a little visit to the mountains?
Absolutely.
And check out? All right. We're continuing with Stacey Dash here. I want to talk about your faith. When we spoke at CPAC, that interview that we did on the Drive at 5 went mini viral, frankly, because you were so passionate about your Christian faith. I want to talk about how that made its way into your political views and also how it's reflected in your book.
Great.
The book is called There Goes My Social Life. It's Stacey Dash's book. It's been out for a week. I also want to get your reaction to the terror attacks over the weekend and what we heard from the president and other politicians. There's a lot coming up here, as always. It's Brian Wilson, me, Larry O'Connor. That one there is Stacey Dash, live in studio here at WMAL, and we're talking about her book, There Goes My Social Life. Tell me a little bit about your faith and how your Christianity affects your views.
Well, I mean, my Christianity affects my views very strongly. I've, you know, God spoke to me very early on in life, being a child of two drug-addicted parents. They couldn't take care of me, so they gave me to a family, a Cuban family, for the first 4 years of my life. And it was a lonely place. It was a place where terrible things happened to me that you can read about when you read the book. But God was always there for me. And God spoke to me the first time when I was about two, and he told me it was just me and him. You know, I got into a situation, I got my finger caught in a television set, and my parents were partying, and everybody was partying and listening to music, and I couldn't get my finger out. And this is when TVs were on the ground, and there was that
like
little
a big part of the
space
furniture.
Between, you know, the screen and the top, and I got my finger caught in there, and I couldn't get it out, and I'm crying, and I'm screaming, and after about 45 minutes of that, I just stopped. And then all of a sudden, I heard this bombastic voice, like I'm talking to you now, say to me, Stacy, it's just you and me. Pull your finger out. And so I did. I pulled it out as hard as I could. My skin fell back. It was gushing blood. And I just went into the other room and looked at everyone in there and just thought, you know, I don't want to be anything like you. And I thought, okay, God, it's you and me. The next time I was walking to school and I saw this beautiful young boy stuffed underneath a car, and his eyes were open, and I looked deeper into his eyes and I realized that he was dead. And I didn't walk faster. I didn't get scared. I just looked deeper. And what I saw deep in his eyes was this peace that goes beyond understanding. And I realized that he was with God in a better place. And that day I became fearless, completely fearless.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sort of puts, you know, criticism from trolls on the internet or other Hollywood actors in perspective when you have a childhood like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, what are you hoping is the end result of this book?
I'm hoping the end result of this book is that people get a better understanding of me, and that when I say things, I'm not coming from a place of judgment, but from a place of experience. You know, I know what you're thinking. I know who you are. I know where you are. I know how you feel. I also know how to get you out.
But for more information about Stacey Dash, about her book, and about her views and a lot of her activism, go to dashamerica.com, by the way. She has a website, and it's full of, chock full of information about all of your activities.
It's my three platforms are on there.
What are your three platforms?
21st Century Feminist, Ronald Reagan's Hollywood, and my minority outreach, which I call Fictional Freedom.
Now, I see your logo here, and it has two rifles in it.
Yes.
With a silhouette of you, I think.
A woman. Which represents the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. And then each star, everything on this means something. Each star represents right to carry states. And then the E Pluribus Unum at the top means all one, as many one. And then the star at the bottom is me standing on the Star of Hollywood.
Well, stepping on it with your stilettos.
That's right.
Speaking of Second Amendment issues, what has happened in Orlando has obviously raised the discussion in America once again about whether or not there should be gun control. What is your thought?
My thought is if people were allowed to carry, then there would have been some good guys in there with guns. And they could have maybe stopped this bad guy from killing so many people needlessly. And I'm glad the president's calling it terrorism, because it was terrorism.
But it was terrorism with a very specific ideological direction.
Right.
It was terrorism inspired by
Islamic
theology.
Islamic fascism.
And he won't say that.
No.
Hillary Clinton won't say that either. What do you make of that, and whether we're serious
about
this?
Because if you
fight?
Don't call it by name, then how do you defeat it? So I guess we'll just have to wait until we get Trump in office and he'll call it by name and we'll defeat them.
Tell me about I hear a lot, and we just got about a minute left here, but we're gonna continue with Stacey Dash in studio. But I hear from a lot of people that Donald Trump is racist, and I keep asking, okay, well, what specifically, and especially and from African Americans as well.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about that and what your response is when you're told that? How can you support Donald Trump? He's a racist.
Why is he racist? What has he done that's racist? And if anything, he's the only one and only candidate I've heard say, I am going to help the African American community. I'm going to make sure they get the education they deserve. I'm going to make sure they get the opportunities they deserve to achieve the American dream. I've not heard any other candidate say that. And he's put Dr. Ben Carson in charge of that. Mm-hmm. So how could he possibly be a racist? How is that racist?
You a big fan of Dr. Carson?
Yes, I love him.
Yeah,
yes.
I've heard you talk about him in the past. In fact, let's talk about that a little bit more, and more about the book, There Goes My Social Life with Stacey Dash.
More with Stacey in a second. It's now 8:22.
65 degrees on WMAL. Lots of questions and answers with Stacey Dash on Facebook Live during the breaks. So go to WMALDC on Facebook and watch the whole interview for yourself. Quickly, you can't talk about the issue of being a conservative in Hollywood without hitting the abortion issue. I remember an actress, famous actress, said, "When I die, I'm going to have to face Jesus, not Barbara Streisand," and that's why she maintains her life position. What about you?
Well, yeah, there were two things my uncle, who was in the book, always told me. One was, "Don't ever be anybody's trick, and when the Jesus train comes, make sure you're on it." I started doing cocaine when I was 16. My mother gave me my first line. And I liked it a lot. So I did a lot of it. Got involved with the wrong man. And then I got pregnant. And I was doing a lot of drugs. I was in a bad place. I was being abused and abusing myself. And I thought, I can't bring a child into this world. And so I went to have an abortion. And there I lay. I was so far along, they had to put me under. Yeah. So there I lay on the abortion table, IV in my arm. Hmm. And I couldn't stop crying. And, you know, over the years of my life, having the life I've had, I've learned how to make sad mad. You know, I've learned how to turn my sadness into anger.
Into action.
And I, exactly. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't stop the sadness. I couldn't come to terms. And I said to God, I said, God, you have to tell me what to do. I don't want a sign. I need you to tell me. Mm-hmm. And he did.
He
like
you.
I'm talking to you right now, he said to me, keep your son.
It was that clear to you?
Yes. So yeah. I ripped the IV out of my arm and I jump up and the doctor's like, okay, calm down. Let's do a sonogram. We did a sonogram and I saw my son. He was about that big. I saw his little heartbeat and I just thought, Jesus Christ, Stacy, how could you have even considered killing this life that's growing inside of you, a gift from God. That day, I never did a drug again for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And, you know, my son's now 25, and, you know, he's the light of my life, and he saved my life.
What a journey you've been on.
Yeah.
What a journey.
And imagine how many children could have had the same.
Right. I don't want to. Could have had
the same
stories
that you didn't
have. Yeah.
Stacy Dash, you're an impressive young woman.
Thank
the website is dashamerica.com, and the book, once again, There Goes My Social Life from Clueless to Conservative. It's really an honor to have you in studio
today. Thank you very much.
Thanks.